having finished the 12 sermons in chapter 4 of the Revelation, we now proceed to chapter 5. This is our first occasion to preach from chapter 5. And please hear God's word now as we read the chapter. And I did see a scroll on the right of the one sitting on the throne, having been written front and back, having been sealed with seven seals. I did see a mighty messenger announcing in a great sound, "Who worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in the heaven or upon the earth or under the earth was unable to open the scroll or to see it. And I was weeping greatly because no one worthy had been found to open the scroll or to see it. One of the elders says to me, "Don't be weeping. Lo, the lion from the Judah tribe, the David root, did overcome to open the scroll and its seven seals." And in midst of the throne and of the four creatures, and in midst of the elders, I did see a lamb standing as slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the Spirit of God sending forth into all the earth. And he did come, and he takes from the right of the one sitting upon the throne. And when he did take the scroll, the four creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each having a lyre and golden bowls filling with incense, which are the prayers of the holy ones, and singing new songs, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and you did buy for God in your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you did make them a kingdom and priests for our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And I did see and hear a sound of many angels and the creatures and the elders around the throne, and was the number of them myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying in a great sound, 'Worthy is the Lamb, the one slain, to receive the power and abundance and wisdom and might and honor and glory and praise.' And every creature which is in the heaven, upon the earth and under the earth, and upon the sea, and all things in them, I heard saying, 'Praise and the honor and the glory and the might into the ages of the ages, to the one sitting upon the throne and to the Lamb.' And the four creatures kept on saying, 'Amen.' The elders fell down and paid homage." It's the end of the reading of God's holy word. Thank you. Be seated. In the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah, verse 17, we read this: "Ah, Lord Yahweh, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." The word of Jeremiah here is that because God, Father, Son, and Spirit is Creator, he can do whatever he wishes. Nothing is too hard, and his will be realized. In Revelation chapter 4, you remember that we saw John was caught up into the heaven, and when he looked, he saw a throne that was set there, a throne that was established in the heaven, a bow around it, emerald in appearance, and the one that was upon the throne, his appearance in the likeness of a man who was once dead but is living into the ages of the ages and sitting in appearance as jasper and sardonyx stone. And there was lightning and sounds and thunders proceeding from that throne, and seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God, burned before the throne, and there was a sea of glass like unto crystal under the throne as well. And now four living creatures in and round about the throne, four creatures which are the cherubim. They are entirely of eyes. They have six wings, each one of them, and they had faces like unto a lion, a calf, which is a young bull, a man, and an eagle, as John tells us. So we have now the throne, we have the seven spirits, the seven torches before the throne, we have the crystal sea underneath, we have four cherubim in and around the throne, and then John sees 24 elders around the throne as well. 24 elders arranged on 24 thrones, and they each have golden crowns, and they're wearing white garments. And messenger angels, numbered in the myriads of myriads of the glory cloud, all of this being the archetype from which this entire creation is patterned or made in the likeness. Okay, that's the setting. You have to have that in mind. You have to have, you have to be keeping all of that in your mind and thinking through of everything that we've learned so far in the last 12 weeks in order to come to chapter 5 and to understand what's being revealed here. There's something going on in heaven as John looks and as he records it all for us. And first, you have to have these other things, the four living creatures, the four cherubim, continually saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Kurios, the God, the Almighty, the was, the is, and the coming." And now when the four living creatures do this, they're met in response by the 24 elder creatures who then prostrate themselves before the throne, cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, the Lord and our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for you did create all, and by your will they are and they were created." So, if you will, the very center of chapter 4 can be said to be the sovereignty of our God in all that he has created. We begin with the throne of his sovereign rule and dominion over all that there is. It is the throne of judgment. It is the throne of redemption. It's the throne of rule and dominion. And the language of the four living creatures and the 24 elders centers around the glory of God in his sovereign creation of all things and his rule over every detail of all that he has made. "Worthy art thou, our Lord, our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power. You did create all. You do rule all. It is all in your likeness. It all is because you will it to be." Because of that, because of all of this that you've created, no one is exempted from perceiving and acknowledging the power and glory and divinity of Almighty God, Father, Son, Spirit, from all that you've created, for it is all in the likeness of the throne room, judgment seat of God in the heaven. Therefore, his power and his divinity are clearly seen in everything that he's made. Now, your perception of what John sees in the heaven here has to be without the five at the top of your translation. You just can't have that five there in your mind, because if you limit yourself with chapters and verses, you won't get this right. The way to view this is that we're just going to the next sentence in John's description of what he saw and what he heard before the throne in the heaven. And with that cast in bronze in your heads, auto theos, Father, himself God, Word, himself God, Spirit, himself God, from the throne of dominion and rule in the heaven, he created all, and they are. And they were created, and he providentially causes all things to be. And Word, himself God, became flesh. Eternally begotten Son, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the cosmos, having himself paid with his own blood for the sin of the world, he then bodily entered into the heaven and was glorified and enthroned as King of kings and Lord of lords, before whom all the creatures prostrate themselves and cast their crowns. And now, auto theos, himself God, rules all things from the throne of judgment and redemption, all enemies under his feet, since, as the scripture says, the earth is his footstool, and judging his enemies and redeeming his elect. Wise men, tribal leaders, judges of Israel, who did not rule by his law word, priests of Israel, who led all the people of Israel into idolatry, and princes of Israel, who did not cast their crowns before his feet, will all be cut off from his covenant, his elect being preserved and removed from harm before that last day. And then, in all the nations of the earth, the leaders, priests, and kings of the earth will bow before him, prophet, priest, and king, ruling from the seat of dominion until the whole earth is full of his glory. For the earth will then know and acknowledge that all is in the likeness of that which is in the heaven, to the glory of God, all being paid for and redeemed by the Word made flesh. John looks and he sees the One, himself God, upon the throne, and there is a scroll to his right, having been written front and back and having been sealed with seven seals. And let me tell you that this scroll, this book, as the Greek word biblios here implies, this scroll has been commented on in ways that can only be defined as imaginative and fictional and bizarre. At best, they are inventive. At worst, absurd. And once again, as we've seen in the past, folks just kind of make up something and that seems like it might be likely, or it just feels like their made-up scenario might excite people, since it's obscure and since it's mystical. People like mystery, don't they? Gets them all charged up. They give money and they buy stuff. But this book, as the Greek word has it, a scroll, if you will, since books were rolled up rather than having covers and pages, this book is not a mystery. Not anymore, anyway, because it's opened up here in John's Revelation. It's not fictional, it's not bizarre, and it's not absurd. It is prophecy. our Lord Jesus Christ, himself God, having assumed his authority over the heavens and the earth, appears to John in all his glory, and he revealed all that is necessary to be done in quickness. Bless the one reading and the ones hearing the words of the prophecy and keeping things having been written in it, for the time is near. The Apostle John is called up into the heaven and sees the throne and all of the creatures worshiping the one who created it all and who providentially rules it all. And the next thing he sees is a prophetic book, a scroll. The issue to be ascertained immediately is why right now? And the totally obvious answer is because John is to be shown the things that are necessary to be done in quickness. The time is near. The next issue then to be determined is why wasn't it revealed before? Again, the answer is it wasn't the time. And then the next question would be, when then was this book written and sealed for the time that was right for it to be opened? In order for me to answer that question, I have to read for you the time and place it was written, what it contained, and the reason it was sealed. I want you to listen carefully, since this is just a little bit more lengthy than what we normally read. Please don't miss anything. It's all very important. First, our Lord's revelations to the prophet Daniel had reached a point in Daniel chapter 7 when Daniel sees the four great beasts of the sea who had been raised up through the agency of the cherubim. It is the vision of the overview of the four great worldwide civilization-changing tyrannical kingdoms of history. Daniel at this time was in captivity in Babylon, the first great beast raised up from the sea. And at the end of the overview here in chapter 7, we read this. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne flaming with fire and its wheels all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. As Daniel continues to receive revelation from God in the chapters of his prophecy that follow, his visions become more detailed concerning the things that were to happen. Chapter 8 contains more of the details about the last days, and it ends like this. The vision of the evenings and mornings, days, that has been given to you is true. But seal up the vision, for it concerns the distant future. Next chapters of Daniel reveal in much greater detail the things to take place, including the destruction of Israel, Jerusalem, and the temple by the fourth great beast, all culminating in the vision of the throne with the book being opened. Then in the last chapter of Daniel's prophecy, chapter 12, we read this. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation even to that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Later there in chapter 12 of Daniel's prophecy, the prophet, struggling greatly with all that he had just seen and heard, especially the annihilation of God's covenant nation, he himself praying for its repentance and for God's mercy, and hearing that the prince will save his elect out of Israel before it is destroyed, pushes for more information concerning these last days, but here's the revelation that's given to him. And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end." So this book, a scroll, was sealed until the end. And while the Apostle John watches here in our text in the Revelation, it is unsealed to reveal that which is necessary to be done in quickness. Now, this scroll, or this book as the Greek word has it, appears one more time in the older scripture. It appears in the prophecy of Ezekiel. Remember, recently I said that we would be going back to the older scriptures many, many times on our way through John's revelation, but especially would we be going back to the prophecy of Ezekiel, for these two revelations are very similar in nature. What I'm about to read for you comes from the second chapter, comes right after Ezekiel's vision of the throne in the heaven, chapter 1. And the description of the throne and the one above it in the likeness of a man is almost identical to John's description of the throne. And the one who speaks to Ezekiel is almost identical to the one who speaks to John in chapter 1. Right after this passage in chapter 2 that I'm about to read for you, Ezekiel, by God the Spirit, is caused to see the wickedness and the rebellion and the idolatry of Israel's tribal leaders, Israel's priesthood, and Israel's princes. He is enabled also to see the appalling and hideous condition of the temple and its macabre and graphic display of everything that is profane and reprehensible. And he is, at the specific direction of God the Spirit, to prophesy the lamentations and the mourning and pronounce the woes which will befall this rebellious nation with which God has covenanted. And here's what I promised to you from Ezekiel 2. "And he said unto me, Son of man, I send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even until this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send you unto them, and you shall say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, yet they shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And you, Son of Man, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with you, and you do dwell among scorpions. Don't be afraid of their words. Don't be dismayed by their looks, though they be a rebellious house. You shall speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, for they are most rebellious. But you, Son of Man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. When I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a scroll was in it. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. It's back in front. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Now, both of these prophecies have to do with judgment and redemption. Both of these prophets are visited from the heaven. Both have a view of the heaven almost identical to John's. Both of these prophecies have to do with the horrific end, the termination of the nation of God's covenant. Both of these prophecies have to do with the rescue of many from Israel before its final destruction. Both of these prophecies have to do with a kingdom of priests from every nation as redemption flows like a river into the Gentile nations. And both of these prophecies have to do with a Savior, prophet, priest, king, and a new city and a new temple in which God is worshipped in spirit and in truth. And all three of these revelations, Daniel, Ezekiel, and John, have a scroll, a book. Ezekiel's scroll is eaten, internalized, for in the prophecy of Daniel, it's been sealed until the time of the end. Here in John's revelation, it is the time of the end. For as John says, that time is near. It's time for the book to be opened and for that which is necessary to be done in quickness to take place. The scroll has written upon it all the things that Daniel saw that troubled him. It has written upon it all that Ezekiel prophesied regarding the judgment of Israel and the promise of a new kingdom and the redemption of the world. And it had the names of God's elect rescued from Israel and sent into the nations in advance of the horrors to come. All of this right in the text of Scripture, and banishing, purging, eliminating any need whatsoever for commentators and evangelists and preachers to make up stuff that sounds good or seems mysterious. Before we come to the table this morning, and before we continue with this text next Lord Day, I want to spend just a few minutes with you on the subject of covenant. On previous occasions in which we've dealt with the covenant, we've taken note that the entirety of God's revelation is covenantal. Systematic theology may begin its quest for understanding in a number of other places, but covenant theology is that study which emphasizes the Creator, Father, Son, Spirit, and His covenant with His creation. Therefore, we shouldn't expect that John's revelation, the capstone of the written word of God, to be any different. So once we come to this text, as we've said in several former sermons, once we come to the text in Revelation with a view to its place in the covenant of our Creator God with His creation, the more apt we will be to appropriating what God has revealed with regard to His covenant. And one of the keys, one of them, to opening it all up for us is the scroll at the right of the one on the throne. As you see in our first verse, it's written front and back. And the scroll that Ezekiel was given to eat was also written front and back. Covenantal documents, treaties and promises were written front and back all through biblical history. And the treaties made between kings and nations who knew no better followed suit as the pattern of the archetype. And in that light, let me read for you from Exodus chapter 32, which has to do with God's anger at Israel just after the Exodus, as Israel made a golden calf by which they might worship God better. You should listen carefully now. Yahweh spoke unto Moses, "Go, get down, for thy people that you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" Yahweh said to Moses, "I have seen this people. Behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. And I will make of you a great nation." Moses besought Yahweh his God and said, "Yahweh, why does your wrath wax hot against your people and the ones that you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak, saying, 'For evil did he bring them forth, to slay them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn from your fierce wrath and repent of this evil against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give to your seed, and they shall inherit it forever.' Yahweh turned from the evil which he said he would do to this people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount with the two tables of the testimony in his hand, tables that were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables." These are the tables that were placed in the ark, which was called the Ark of the Covenant. And they were written on both sides, front and back. As Meredith Klein explains, the documents written on stone were a witness to Israel and a witness against Israel, reminding of obligations sworn to and rebuking for obligations violated, declaring the hope of covenant blessings and pronouncing the doom of covenant curses. And they were placed in the ark, which was the likeness of the throne of God in the heaven. The covenantal law word of God written front and back, was the document establishing God's covenant with his people. So it's no wonder that the scroll, written front and back, is obviously a covenantal document prophesied by Daniel, prophesied by Ezekiel, sealed and only to be opened in the last days. It is a document of doom for an idolatrous and wicked people, and it is the document of the new covenant in the resurrected, ascended, and enthroned Jesus Christ, himself God. It is the new covenant, not a totally different one, but a new one of the same kind. And as John sees it opened through the following chapters of the Revelation, we will see the curses of the old covenant fulfilled on this idolatrous and adulterous people. The prophets were the prosecuting attorneys. God the Son, God man, is judge and executor of the lawsuit who carries out the punishment. This is the throne of judgment. We'll then see the King of Kings extend his covenant to a new people in all the nations of the earth. This scroll, you see, is nothing less than the covenantal testament of the resurrected, ascended, glorified, and enthroned Jesus Christ, who has received all of the nations of the earth as his inheritance. It is the inception of the new covenant, and this is the throne of redemption. May God add great blessing out of the reading and the preaching of his word. Amen.